In the Dvar Malchus of Lech Lecha, the Rebbe talks about the land of the three nations, Keni, Knizi, V'Kadmoni, and the Rebbe gives a hoira that how do we conquer those three nations is by learning deep in Yanim in Chassidus, Rebbe calls it Avedis HaMoichin. So behetim to this, and fitting to this, we're going to present here a worked-over translation of a Maimer of the Tzemach Tzedek, which relates to the three nations that are mentioned in the this Parsha, and in the Dvar Malchus, and are connected directly to Geula, and it's deeper in Yanim, connected to what the Rebbe says about Avodas HaMoichin. So the Tzemach Tzedek writes like this, the borders, referring to the borders of the land of Eretz Yisrael in the future. We are promised in the Torah that in the time to come, the Jewish people will receive the land of Israel, consisting not only of the land of the seven nations of Canaan, but also the land of the three nations of Edom, Moav, and Ammon, which are referred to in the Pasuk as Keni, Knizi, V'Kadmoni. This being so, we're confronted with a question. The Nevu of Yechezkel describes the borders of the land of Eretz Israel as they will be Lasid Lavi in the time to come. Right? The Malach takes him and shows him Eretz Israel the way it's going to be in the third base of Mikdash. But in his Nevuah, the borders of the land are clearly defined as being the same borders as were conquered by Yehoshua ben Nun, which is only the land of the seven nations. It's very clear from his Nevuah. Now, the question is, his Nevuah is about Lasid Lavi, the time to come. Why doesn't he mention the lands of the other three nations that we were promised and we're told that we're going to get them, Lasid Lavi? This is also connected to the additional three Ari Miklat, the three refuge cities, which were instructed to establish in those lands. These refuge cities are, in turn, associated with the rectification of Hevel. Right? Cain was able to kill Hevel because Hevel was already Chayiv Misa, because he tzitz b'shchina, while he offered his korban, right? He offered a korban to Hashem, and it was accepted. The Tzemach Tzedek brings to the Medrash that he peeped at the Shechina, and by doing that, he was Chayiv Misa. Thus, Cain was able to kill him. If he was not Chayiv Misa, Cain could get as upset as he wants. He couldn't do anything to him. Now, Chazal, in Sanhedrin, Tzadik Ches, Umad Aleph, explained the verse, Be'ita Achishena, and it's in the Nevuah of Yeshaya Navi. So there in the Gemara, they seems to be referring to two distinct end times, two distinct kitzin, that Zochu Achishena, if they merit, I will hurry it up, the Geula, the Ketz. And if they don't merit, Lo Zochu, then Be'ita, in its time. Be'ita can be translated as in its time. So if they merit, I'll speed it up. And if they don't merit, it'll come when it's supposed to come. So, continuing on the Tzemach Tzedek's Maimon, the Ketz comes in its last possible moment, which is Be'ita, according to what he's explaining here, all of the descendants of Hevel will be rectified. But if the Jewish people will merit to the redemption before the Ketz of the Tikkun of Hevel is completed, then there will be a need for Ari Miklat, refuge cities, for those descendants of Cain who will kill accidentally but not intentionally. Obviously, these are descendants, something Ruchnius, because Hevel and Cain did not, Hevel was already killed, and he didn't have any descendants, and Cain was, his descendants died in the flood. So, there's obviously a spiritual in Yonim. And we can add here that it's important to note that what's explained in Chassidus, that the tikkun of the neshamas that come from Hevel are the basis of Avidus Birunim, refining the sparks of holiness, which is accomplished in the time of Golos. That's what it says in the Chassidus. So if the Ketz comes on time, so all of these neshamas, all these sparks of holiness that are connected with Hevel will be rectified. They will have their tikkun. But if we're poiled the Geula earlier, then we lose out. In order to understand this matter of Beita and Achishena, we find the Chazal say that a woman conceives first and a male is born. The man conceives first and a female is born. Right? Connected with Parshas Tazria. So what does this mean? When Knesset Yisrael, which is the collective soul of the Jewish people, will conceive first, right? We're like Hashem's wife. So if the woman conceives first, that's Knesset Yisrael. then this is the aspect of elevating the feminine waters, halos man, it's called in Kabbalah, which means from below to above, like the yearning of the woman for a husband. Then this awakening from below will generate the awakening from above, from Hashem, which draws down the hamshachas mad, the masculine waters, from a very lofty level, so that a male will be born, meaning a higher level than a female, meaning that we're talking here, Tzemach Tzedek continues, we're talking here about the avodah that gives birth to love in the Jewish people, a male child representing avor abba, a great love. In other words, if we awaken first on our own, then this gives birth to avor abba, a great love for Hashem, from our side. But if the man will conceive first, meaning Hashem, Hashem is the man in this relationship, he's the mashpia to the Jewish people. So if Hashem awakens first to bring the geula, then a female will be born, meaning a lower level of avas Hashem. And this level, he says over here, this is avas Hashem in order to receive a reward in Gan Eden. He says, see, likutei Torah, tazria, soistosis. So, same thing in our case. If the ketz will be via the awakening of Knesset Yisrael, meaning that through the awakening from below of the Jewish souls and Jewish people, there will be an awakening from above corresponding to speed up the matter of the Geula before its time, and that's Achishena, when Hashem will widen the borders and we will inherit the land of the Keni, Kniz, and Kadmoini. In other words, let's package the things together. If we have an awakening from below, from our side, that Isha, the woman, conceives first, and that gives birth to a male child. So this is Achishena, when Hashem will give us the land of Keni, Knesiv, Kadmoini. But if it will be the man conceiving first, meaning that the Ketz will come due to an awakening from above that Hashem gives us in its predetermined time, then the borders of the land will remain unchanged, as in the Nevuah of Yechezkel. We're not going to get those three lands of Keni, Knesiv, Kadmoini. Hold on, don't stop the tape yet. And he writes, Tzemach Tzedek writes, the lands of the three nations will be left a desolate wasteland. In other words, if we are not the ones to awaken and bepoil the Geula, then we get Ketz Be'ita in its predetermined time. And the land of the three nations, Kenanik, Sisiv, Kadmoini, we don't inherit them. They remain a desolate wasteland. To explain the matter, Tzemach Tzedek continues. The Shviras HaKeilim, the shattering of the vessels, occurred primarily in the seven midis of Tohu. This is corresponds to the emotion, the emotions. But not so much in the Kesach Chochma and Bina of Tohu. Kesach Chochma and Bina, this is the Moichin, and we translate them as Keser means crown, Chochma and Bina, wisdom and understanding. And in general, you can group them together that Keser is super intellect, it's above the intellect, L'mayle mitam v'das, as we say. And Chochem and Bina are the intellect. But we're talking here about the intellect of Tohu. So as regards their tikkun, which is the Avodis HaBiruim performed by the Yidden down in this world via Torah and Mitzvahs, this is performed on the seven Midas, because the main breaking of the vessels took place in the seven Midas. So our main Avodah is working on the seven Midas. At the same time, while we're working on those seven midas, the three other dimensions of Moichin, Keser, Chochma, and Bina of Tohu are being rectified together with them. In other words, we're busy working on our midas, and on the way, the Moichin are being rectified at the same time. According to this, it will be fitting that the Jewish people should inherit these lands when they finish the task of refining the seven midas of Tohu. However, this depends on the actions of the Jews in this world, whether it will be Be'ita in its time, or Achishena, I will hasten it, which we just explained above, that's dependent on where does the awakening come from, below or above. The expression, inheriting these lands, means the revelation of the good found in the aspect of the Moichin of Tohu, the Keser, Chochma, and Bina of Tohu. So to summarize a little bit at this point, in other words, we have two factors, the avodah sebirurim and the awakening from below. If the avodah is finished before there's an awakening from below, this is called be'ita in its time. If the awakening from below occurs before the avodah is completed, this is called achishena. That's what we understand so far. And this difference determines whether we inherit the lands of the three nations, Keni, Knesiv, and Kadmoini. Tzemechetet continues. If the good that is in them will be revealed in a tangible way in the Jewish people, then these lands will be considered part of the land of Israel. And this will take place in the simple sense as well. You know, we'll see it Bagashmias. But if we will not inherit these lands, then the goyim in those places will, as stated in the Nevuahs, in the prophecies, will be wiped out along with the evil that is there. However, the lofty good that is there will not be revealed directly. Rather, it will only be revealed through being enclosed in the seven Midas, which is the land of the seven nations of Canaan. In other words, we said that, Tzemach Tzedek said that, as we refine the seven Midas, we're also refining the Moichin of the three nations. But if we don't have an awakening from below, we're not going to see those three nations in our hands, only through the seven nations of Canaan. What's going to take place depends on the action of the Jewish people down in the world, whether we have an awakening from above or below, awakening from below or not. If we bring about Achishena, an awakening from below, where the woman conceives first, this will cause a drawing down from above to below, and inheriting the three lands of Kesach Chochmah Bina of Tayhu, the three Moichin that we're talking about, and the good that has been refined from them will actually shine forth there in those lands. So we'll inherit those lands, and the good that was hidden there will be shining forth in a revealed way there. Those lands will be considered as part of the land of Israel, and physically the borders of Israel will reflect this. However, if it will be Be'ita from above, Hashem will awaken to the Geula and awaken us from above, even though the Ruach HaTumah, the spirit of impurity, will be removed, nonetheless, the good in these three lands will not be revealed. Rather, it will only appear through being enclosed in the Midas, the land of the seven nations. In such a case, the land of the three nations will be left desolate, as we said above. Now, let's go back to the Nevuah of Yechezkel. Since the expansion of the land of Israel to include the three lands is dependent on the Kates being in a way of Achishena, meaning a love that derives from an awakening from below, as we explained above. This is why Yechezkel's Nevuah describes only the land of the seven nations, because he had a Nevuah about the final Kates, which is a Kates Be'ita, where the borders of the land of Israel remain as they were in the days of Yehoshua. And we notice that in the Nevuah of Yechezkel, the land is divided into 13 sections. The question is, how do we arrive at the number 13? There are 10 Sfiris, right? How do you get to 13? So the answer Tzemach Tzedek gives, the answer is that the seven Midas each possess three Moichin, right? This is the Chabad of the Midas. On Sfiris Omer, we count seven Midas, each one containing seven of those same Midas. It brings you to 49. But also, in truth, we don't count as Sfiris Omer, but in truth, each of the Midas, the seven Midas, includes three Moichin. So that brings you, would bring you in that way to a total of 70. But nonetheless, you have seven Midas, and each one has three Moichin, right? The Chabad of the Midas, that brings you to 10. And further, you have the Kesach Chochmah Bina of Tayhu are enclosed in them, because these three Moichin that we just said, these are Moichin not of Tayhu, but in the Tayhu, the Moichin of Tayhu are enclosed in them in a hidden way, and that brings the total of 13. If it's a little confusing, you could look at the Maimer. Thus we see that the Nevuah of Yechezkel what's his Nevuah? His Nevuah is on the Ketz Be'ita, where Kesach Chochmah Bina will be enclosed in the seven Midas in a hidden way, because the awakening is from above. That the Adam Elyon, the supernal man, conceives first, and there will not be an actual inheritance of the three lands. But afterwards, in Yemaisa Mashiach, this is the, let's call it the punchline, the Tzemach Tzedek writes. But afterwards, even if it comes Be'ita, and we only get the land of seven nations, but after this, in Yemaisa Mashiach, through the Avoida of Yisrael, they will arrive and merit, after several years, to the aspect of Achishena, inheriting the three lands as part of the land of Israel, until the good in Kesach Chochmah Bina of Tayhu will be actually revealed there. So in other words, it's never a lost case. One way or another, you get the Achishena. You can get the Achishena first, or you can get the Achishena second. So we see, just to summarize, we see from the Maimer of the Tzemach Tzedek that if the Jewish people finish Avodas Birurim, but they have still not had an awakening from below on their own, then the Geula arrives, but they lack the Kalim to perceive the lights of Tayhu that have been refined from the level of Kesach Chochmah Bina of Tayhu. If this occurs, then they will have to do the avoid in Yemos Mashiach in order to reach the level where they will inherit the land of Kenei Kiziv Kadmoini, meaning everything's already been done. Right? When they refined the Midas, they also refined these three Moich and these three other lands. But whether we inherit these lands or not, whether we see it or not, depends on the awakening from below, and the heading line of Keni Knis V'Kadmoni, as we said, is a revelation of the lights of Tayu in a revealed way. Now, let's just remember, the Rebbe says in these sikhs, Avodas HaBirurim has been finished. When we only need to shout Ad Mosai, mit Nemes, really shout Ad Mosai, we mean it like we care about it, not like we care about it, we do care about it. And to open our eyes and see that the Geula is here, and that we are presently found in Yemais HaMashiach. So if you take those three Nekudas, or if you already knew them, that the Rebbe is saying this, and you read this Maimer of the Tzemach Tzedek, you see that Tzemach Tzedek is explaining exactly the Chassidus behind what the Rebbe is saying when he tells us that Avodas HaBirurim is finished, and we just need to shout Ad Mosai mit Nemes, and open our eyes to see that the Geula is already here, and when Yemais HaMashiach. And the source of this is Or HaTorah of the Tzemach Tzedek, Bereishis, page Tov Shin Samech Zayin. Tov Shin Samech Zayin. Chi Adonainu, Bonainu, V'Rabbeinu, Melech HaMashiach, Leinu V'Ed.